Thank you for listening to this message from Fusion Church. You can listen to more messages online at fusionbz.com.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sherilyn. All right, I know we've had quite a long service already, but we're going to jump into the Word this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements, and then we'll dismiss the children to go along with that. Pastor Mack is actually scheduled to preach here the same morning that I will be doing the Gospel Expo, so I did not leave you without somebody to bless you, and I got to go to listen to him at Empower. He is just biblically sound, very down to earth, very practical. You're going to really be blessed and enjoy the Word that he brings. Also, this Tuesday night at our service, I told you we're doing a special service this coming Tuesday, so I have a couple of people picked out that are going to be speaking to us on Tuesday. So Wilbur will be teaching us on Tuesday night. Wilbur, come on, give it up, give it up. Yeah. Where's Kevin Thiessen at? Kevin going to be right there beside him. Kevin will be speaking. Amen. And Crash Tyler over here. The wall. This guy literally knocks walls down. Hey, Brendan is going to be speaking for us. Come on, give it up. I'm going to give these guys about 10 minutes apiece, and they're going to knock it out of the park. We're going to come and support and have a good time in the Lord. Amen. So we're excited for that. In fact, we've had so many people sign up, we're actually going to do the same thing again in April. So we have some people picked out for April as well. So come out and support on our Tuesday night service as these people begin to plant those seeds and release what God is laying in their heart. Amen. There is a meeting this afternoon for the Sunday school teacher, all the teachers, toddlers and up at what time? 2 o'clock right here at the church. So if you're a teacher or volunteer for the Sunday school, please be here. Sorry. Just the teachers and their helpers. All right, great. Children, you may be dismissed to go to your classes. We're going to jump right into the Word. Pastor Dave is going to do his best to keep it short today because I know we had a lot of preliminaries. But I just got to tell you how blessed I am by the move of God's Spirit in this building today. Amen. I believe what I said this morning about the open heaven. I really, you know, we often approach church as though we're trying to figure out a formula to get God moved rather than just recognizing that we live under an open heaven where God's hand is extended to us, amen, to meet needs, to pour out blessing, to speak encouragement and life to us. So every time we come to the Lord, we should come with expectation. We should come with an assurance in our heart that God is going to bless us and move, amen. This isn't about a message. This isn't about a brand or a denomination. This isn't even about our own affirmation from God that we're somebody. The glory of God, which is what we've been speaking on the last 2 weeks, last week and this week, the glory of God is about bringing together God and His people in a very real way. I heard a great speaker one time say that glory is when the divine and the natural come together. That's when you see the glory of God shine. When the divine and the human come together, that's when God is moving. I'm going to reread the last verse of scripture we had last week out of the Amplified Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love." Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. This is God's love. Make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or gifts, especially that you may prophesy, to interpret the divine will and purpose and inspired preaching and teaching. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that we come with expectation in our heart because you're so faithfully committed to blessing us, to speaking into our lives, that your glory is being released in us to change who we are so that we reflect your glory more and more every day of our lives. As we follow you, as we seek you, as we endeavor to cultivate the gifts of God and allow the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us, we become a witness to the world of the divine glory of God operating and working in our lives. And they can see you through us. because that is your plan for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned last week that this verse of scripture where Paul is pouring out to him. He talks in chapter 12 about the gifts of God that have been given to men so that we can operate in the Holy Spirit. And then he jumps into love and talks about the whole chapter 13 is just talking about the importance of love and how without that love, these gifts can't even function properly, and we can't, we're nothing without this love of God in our heart and loving people with that love. And then he jumps right into 14 and encourages the church to not only to pursue, but to acquire and to cultivate, to desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments or the gifts. Because the only way the world is going to see the Spirit of God in the church is when we, one, love them like Christ loved them, and two, let the Holy Spirit flow through us. And how does He flow through us? Through love and through the gifts of the Spirit, right? So He's telling us to cultivate that. The revelation or teaching of the gift didn't give us the capacity to operate in the gift. It merely invited us to begin to cultivate that gift. And we, last week, if you were here, we brought Asia up and let her try to play the guitar, and then we brought Alex up because Alex had cultivated his gift, and we showed the difference. And when you come into worship, sometimes just the intro to the song, because you take a guitar and you yield it to the Lord and you've cultivated the skill and you're doing what you're doing because you want to glorify God and you want to worship Him, there's sometimes just in the intro to the song, before we even begin to sing, an anointing that begins to flow and begins to move. And that's such a great example of what God wants to do in every area of our life. He wants to take the gifts that He's put in you, both the natural and the supernatural, and He wants you to cultivate them and honor Him with them, not as a show, not as a pretense, not as affirmation, but as a glory to God, praising and worshiping Him with who we are. And then when we do that, we release the glory of God to move, and everybody in the presence of that glory sees and bears witness that God is alive and God is moving, and there's something. I can't tell you how many times in the last several years somebody has come up to me after visiting the church. And by the way, if you're a visitor here today, thank you for being here. We bless you and pray that you receive something from God today. But how many people have come up as a visitor and then afterward they come and say, you could just feel the presence of God. Just the anointing allows even somebody who's not familiar with the place to bear witness. They recognize the glory of God, where the Spirit of God is moving amongst human beings. Amen? And so he's telling us to pursue that, to cultivate that, to be equipped in that, so that we're proficient in it, so that God can use us in greater ways. You may be wondering why I'm talking about this specific topic, but it goes really right along with what we've been sharing, that God didn't call us to come and sit in a pew and then call that the fulfillment of our sacrifice. I mean, we even have padded chairs. How big is that? I'm amazed at the selfishness of people to go to church for an hour a week after God has done all of the things that He does for them. They go to church and sit for an hour and a half a week and then think they're doing God a service. You know what? I don't come to church to do God a service. I come to church because I just rejoice in who He is. I'm so thankful for all the things that He's done. I just can't wait to be a part of what God is doing here. And then here we get equipped and we get blessed and we get touched and we get encouraged and we get edified. And then when we leave this place, we go out and we begin to pour out to other people what we received in this place. It's called the church. Come on, somebody. It's an invitation to pursue that and to cultivate it so that God can work in greater ways through us. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Listen to what it says. It says, He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Somebody say church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Why? Because the time had not come until the cross and then the resurrection. That's when the Holy Spirit brings the revelation that this was the anointed Messiah of God come to deliver the world. But I want to say something, because in talking about glory, I don't know how to talk about glory without talking about the church. Not because God only exists in the church, he exists in our lives, but God manifests his glory first through the church. And the reason why I bring this out is because we're living in a time where there is such an attack on the church. Not just from the world who is criticizing the church, not just from the world who's trying to negate and call the church just some old-fashioned idea and speak ill of it, but even from within the very church itself, within the bodies of Christ, there are movements trying to eliminate the intensity, the purpose, the very necessity of the church. And you have people saying things like, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, I think if you're saved, then your heart is changed. And your passion and love for God that comes from that change is going to make you want to be a part of what God is doing. So you're not saved because you go to church, but if you're saved, you should want to go to church. And then what the enemy does is he picks out little problems, little offenses, little disagreements, little things, and then he uses those little things to try to convince us that the church really isn't a place for us. You don't have to go there and there. And then out of offense, out of hurt, out of bitterness, out of woundedness, we start making decisions about how we don't need something God commanded for us to be a part of. God, the church wasn't man's idea. This is the part of it that makes me laugh. We start saying, well, we don't need this and we don't need that, like it was our idea in the first place. God is the one who invented the church. God is the one who declared it's the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. So if we're not going to be a part of the body, and I'm not talking about a building, but if we're not going to be a part of the body of Christ, working together and encouraging one another and letting the spiritual gifts of God move and flow through us, then how are we going to prevail against the gates of hell? Only the church can do that. So when you choose not to be a part of the church, you leave yourself open for attack of the enemy. We had a great teaching at men's meeting a couple of months ago. And he was talking about how the job of the wolf is to separate the sheep from the flock, because when you're separated, you're vulnerable. And then when you read in the Bible and you understand that God gave different gifts to each and every one of us and said that there's not one part of us that can say to the other part that I have no need of you. But he put different gifts in each of us so that together we form the full body of Christ. And what does the body do? Well, all of the work and all of the appearance that goes on in my life is done by my body. When you see me, you don't see my spirit. Hello? When you see me, you don't see just my toe. If my toes just showed up at church today, we'd have a problem. Right? What you see is the fullness of who my body is, show up and appear in order to show you. You know what my body does? My body shows you the glory of God, because it was made in his likeness and in his image. And when my body is yielded to him, we do things like preach and sing and pray and move. And this body, do you understand that this, your body is a reflection of the glory of God when you submit it to God and let it be used by him. And in the very same and very real way, so is the church, the body of Christ, and reveals the glory of God everywhere it appears. Can you say amen? Therefore, if the church was God's idea and God's plan, rather than trying to experience the glory of God outside of what God says it's going to be manifested as, we should instead reject the concepts that defy what God has said about his body. Because let's be honest, we're not perfect. No church. If you find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll be the one that messes it up. No. We bring our imperfections. And we join with other people in their imperfections, because we understand, like Asia was saying, it's not really about us. It's about him. It's about imperfect people gathering together in the name of a perfect God, trusting that He will manifest His glory. And through the manifestation of His glory, He's going to reveal our faults, heal and overcome and strengthen and renew us until those faults are no longer what drive and motivate and appear, but yet His glory and His love and His gifts are what's going to be shown. And yes, every once in a while, the flesh will appear. I believe God is big enough that we can handle it. Can you say amen? I'm fascinated by people who show up at church and then they're amazed because somebody acted like a human being. The church is full of human beings. Of course, every once in a while, you're going to see the flesh side of it. We were never mind. I was going to say something, but I'm not. I decided to redeem the time. Turn with me real quick. Book of Romans chapter 8. Can I tell you that it's not the power of one or the power of the denomination, it is the church of Jesus Christ that God has destined to prevail over the gates, over the stronghold, over the powers of hell or of Satan or of the demonic spirits. We are a bunch of Samsons who have forgotten our mission and lost our strength. We no longer are looking to cultivate and operate in the spiritual gifts, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to move in His power. We're no longer operating in the love as the church of Jesus Christ, which lets the love, the image of God, appear to the world outside. Because the church has gotten, I'm not talking about this individual body of people, come on, I'm talking about the global church, has gotten so twisted and lost in the concepts of religion and in the concepts of denomination and in branding and in all of these, you know, you do it this way and we do that way and we're right and you're wrong, and if you don't do it like us, then you can't be part of us, and all this mess, all that is division and strife that is created by the enemy to try to get our focus off of Jesus Christ. And when the focus of the church comes back to Jesus Christ and He is Lord, we're imperfect but we're submitted to Him, all of a sudden we find a level ground of unity that allows the Holy Spirit of God to begin to move again in power and in glory, and the devils tremble when the church comes together in unity. Thank you, Wilbur. So much negativity today about church. People who call themselves the church are criticizing the church. Like they're so high and holy that they look down on the church from their place of glory. I'm sorry, but that's not holiness. That's a critical spirit. When you get around somebody and they're so holy that they're running down the church, that's not holiness. That is a critical spirit in operation, and they need your help and your deliverance. Amen. Jesus loves His bride. Look at somebody and say, Jesus loves His bride. And wants to perfect her, not gossip about her. Hello. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Listen, the earnest expectation of the world is waiting to see the manifestation of the glory of God in the men and women of God. How's it going to show up? It's going to show up because we cultivate the presence of God and learn to flow in obedience to that spirit, to that presence, and the operation of gift and the outflowing of love. Hello, somebody. You realize that when it says the sons of God, it's referring to the dynamic between the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and those that are saved through believing on Him and empowered by His Holy Spirit, thus operating in the same spirit that Jesus operated in, being sons of God. How did He operate? He operated in miraculous power. But He operated in a great grace that allowed Him to love sinners and bring restoration to them, not condemnation and just judgment. Do you realize you're never more like Christ than when you look at a sinner and offer them deliverance? Not when you scowl down at them and tell them how bad they are and how wrong they are and oh, you're going to hell. There's sin in the church. There was sin in the church when you got here, you prideful person. course there's sin in the church. There's people in the church. I'm just amazed that people, you know, they go back and they pull up old history, old Testament stories, you know, like when they, you know, they won the Battle of Jericho, and then they went to go fight at the little town, and the guy had kept, you know, some of the treasure, and then they were defeated. There was sin in the camp. Oh, there's sin in the camp. God can't move. There's sin in the camp. You don't understand. They were empowered by their ability to keep a commandment. That was the promise. If you do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't do these things, you'll be cursed. That is not the law by which we live. We live by the law of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The grace of God overcomes my sin. The grace of God delivers me from it, but empowers me past it and beyond it, and allows the grace of God allows the power and love of God to flow in my life even before I was perfect. While I was yet a sinner, He loved me and gave Himself for me. I didn't save myself and then go to become a Christian. He came to me in my sin. He left the 99 stuck-up, would-be perfect thinking Christians and come and found me, the lost, hurting, hungry, dying, needful one, and He said, come to me. And when I came, He delivered and He saved and He made me holy and He made me righteous and He poured Himself into me. And now the life that I live, I now live by the faith of Jesus Christ who saved me. No wonder why His glory is so evident in the church. The church is full of imperfect people, and the glory of God never shines brighter than when it flows through imperfect vessels. And the truth is, the reason why we point out everybody else's flaws is so we don't have to look at our own. Because it's a painful thing to be confronted with our own shortcomings. So it's much easier to pick out the few things that we do well and say, I do these, and ignore all the things we're not doing. And then pick out the people who aren't doing these, because now we feel bigger than them. It's so pride. It's so carnal. It so sickens the nostrils of God, the scent of our self-righteousness. That's why He said it's as filthy rags. And if y'all have understand what that means when He talks about filthy rags, it's a disgusting thing. Hello? Therefore, the glory of God is reserved for when we just come to Him humble and lowly. We know we're not perfect, but we trust Him to move because He is God and He loves us with that great love. And then we love one another because He first loved us. We don't love one another because, I don't love you because you're perfect. I know you're not perfect before I meet you. Hello? The whole world is waiting for this manifestation of God's glory to come out into our lives. But like I said, we're like Samson. We forgot our purpose. Samson got attracted to some woman and forgot that God had sent him and empowered him to be a judge and deliverer. The nation of Israel from the oppressors. Ironically, God has sent you and I and empowered us to be a deliverer to the nations of the world, to bring them to the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. The problem is we get so distracted by all of the things that tempt our eyes and our heart and our flesh and our wants and our pride. Amen? There has to be an awakening where we realize my purpose here is to let the glory of God shine through my life where the world can see God when they look at me. Through my love for them, through the manifestation of His Spirit in my life. Right? Acts 17 and 26 says, and He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring. In Him we live and we breathe and have our being. We move in the Spirit of God. When we were in the middle of worship this morning and the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart, you were being moved by Him. When the word of life come to you that made you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were moving in Him. And that same moving in Him is what allows Him to be manifested in our lives. I'm not talking about running around seeking signs and seeking wonders. Those will happen when you just relax and seek and follow God. We don't run after signs. Signs follow us. Come on, get it straight. We're not sign seekers. The sign of God's presence is with me everywhere I go. So therefore, when He moves, it's obvious that we're with God. I don't seek signs. Signs seek me. I follow Christ. When you understand that Jesus is the miracle, it takes all the wonder out of all of it. Jesus is the miracle, so as long as I'm with Him, miracles are going to happen. Hello? Healings are going to happen. Manifestations are going to happen. Glory is going to happen when I'm with Him. But it's about seeking His heart and His will, flowing in His purpose, letting Him lead the service. Every Sunday, I have a message ready that I have prepared, but every Sunday I come and I hold that message very loosely. Because God may want to do something different than what I think. And if I move, I want it to be in Him. Can you say amen? I wonder if we do that with our day-to-day lives. Do we get up every day? Oh, well, tomorrow's Monday. I'm going to get up at 6:45 and I'm going to have my coffee at 6:55 and I'm going to have my breakfast ready by 7. I'm going to be at work by 7:30. Really? What if God wants to do something different tomorrow? I'm not telling you that you don't need your job or that it's not important. But you realize that when you set priorities, not everything can be the number one priority. Only one thing gets to be the number one priority, and that has to be Jesus Christ. And if following Jesus Christ as that priority costs you one of the other priorities, He will replace it with something better, I promise. Make Him number one. So if you sleep in and you get up late and it's between not having your coffee and breakfast or not doing your devotion and spending time with God, skip the breakfast. Let the bread of life feed you. It'll carry you all day long. In Him we live and move and have our being. God wants you to flow with Him, to move with Him. This is how heaven invades the earth. I love Ezekiel chapter 47. I use it all the time. I refer to it all the time. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It talks about the river of God that flows from the temple of God and it flows out over the threshold. It says everywhere it goes, that river, everywhere it touches, it brings life. Dead things come back to life. Everywhere it goes, it heals. Everywhere it goes, it brings life. Now, when you understand that that river is the Holy Spirit, and you begin to understand that that Holy Spirit, there's a flow to that river. Jesus even said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you tie those things together, what God is trying to say is there is a flow of His Spirit that wants to form from our love and our His presence within us and flow out of us. And when we flow with that river, we bring healing and we bring life and we bring a touch from God to everyone we come in contact with. To every situation that we come into, we are heaven invading earth. I don't know about all that, Pastor. I just come to church and I put money in the offering pan and I'm just believing God that I'm not going to get sick and my family's going to do all right and da-da-da. You're missing it all. You're still trying to cash in on the works card. You still think that just punching your little clock, I've showed up at church, I paid my tithes, I prayed for my food, I prayed before I went to bed, whatever your little list. Christians are real bad about coming up with their little lists. I have my punch list, and as long as I've got my punch list, God is going to keep any bad thing from happening to me. First of all, bad things are going to happen to you. Get ready. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So bad things are going to happen, you're just going to be victorious anyway. He didn't say no weapon shall be formed against you. It said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So bring on your weapons, devil. They can't work. I'm still going to win. Jesus Christ is with me. And I'm not fighting in my power. I'm fighting in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm letting Him fight the battle for me. I'm trusting Him. Can you say amen? And so when you throw away the punch card, then you finally begin to understand what grace really means, what favor really means. What relationship really means. Yeah, most husbands understand you can't just have a punch card with your wife. Well, I buy flowers on Friday, and I say good morning every morning, and I try to take 10 minutes a week to make sure that I let her tell me how her week has gone. And that's so plastic and fake, ain't no wife going to be happy with that. They want your heart. They want your attention. They want to know you care. Hello? So does God. He wants you to serve. In fact, He said to love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. That's everything I am. God wants all of me. We sing it. We come to church and sing it. And then Pastor Joseph has to get up and minister to you in the spirit because you're singing it, but you're not giving it all. Amen. Lord, I think I look at the Bible sometimes and I'm so glad that God was able to use a donkey because that means that there's hope for me yet. The church has to take up the mantle to be the veins of glory. You know the veins that run through your body are what carry the life-giving oxygen to every cell in your body. Amen? In the very same way, the church has to realize we're the veins that bring the glory of God to the world. I say we're veins because those veins spread out all through your body. When we leave this building, we spread out all through this world. Why? To carry the glory of God to the whole world so that they see Jesus in us, so it creates a hunger and a thirst in them for what we have. Not pressured, as I said last week, we're not pressured to manifest anything. It's not my job to make miracles happen. It's not my job to make glory show. It's my job to trust Him that He's going to do that. And it's my job to obey Him when I flow in Him and He tells me to move. And if we'll be faithful to that, He'll be the one that makes the glory shine. Amen? It sounds weird in here when the air conditioner's shut off, don't it? Matt 10:7 says, "And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick." Anybody notice it doesn't say pray for the sick? Is that up there on the board? Can we put that scripture up there for me, would you? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. I want you to see it with your eyes. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm going to close with this. I know it's been a long service and you want to go home. I got so much more I'd like to share with you, but you lazy people won't stay long enough. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was a joke. Don't get offended. If you get offended, come up front. We'll pray for you. Why would God tell you something that He wasn't going to perform? How could a just God command you to do something He wasn't going to fulfill? So the commandment from God to the disciples was heal the sick, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It doesn't say go pray for them. Pray for them is our excuse for nothing happening. Smile at me real big. Understand, I'm not telling you to heal. I understand it's the Holy Spirit that does that. I'm not telling you to cleanse. I understand it's the working of God that does that. But see, the only way you go to do something you can't do is when you have a confident faith in a God that told you to do it, knowing He will perform it when I obey. Can you receive that this morning? The reason why, one of the reasons why, we're not seeing the glory of God manifested in our... Listen, this is the will of God for Christians. This should be our experience, our life experience, seeing God move, hearing the voice of God speak, living in relationship with the living God, knowing that we're loved and affirmed and accepted. When Jesus is baptized and the heavens split open, and His Father speaks down and He says, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Can you imagine the affirmation of His Spirit knowing that His Father is speaking this over Him? I want to challenge you with something. He'll do the same thing for you. I'm not saying that when I baptize you or somebody else baptizes you, the heaven's going to split and there's going to be an audible voice. But I'm telling you, when you come to God in faith, there are going to be glory moments that happen in your life where God is going to speak to you and affirm you and pour life into you and charge you up. And when you come out of them glory moments, you come out feeling 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and you know God is real and you know He loved you, and no devil in hell or no lying person can ever take away the fact that God has said to you that He loves you and you're His. He wants to affirm you personally of His love for you. And in those glory moments, we don't talk about God. We don't think about God. We experience God. There's this false dichotomy that's going on in religion today. Like there's two different trains of thought. One they call it experientialism, like faith and all of that stuff is just about experiencing something. And if you're into experience, then you're not based on the Word of God. But if you're based on the Word, you don't need experience. Can I tell you that both of those are false? Because the truth is, if you really believe the Word, you're going to experience God. And it's not because of who we are. It's because He loves us that much. Can I tell you, as you leave here today, that your Father can't wait to experience relationship with you. He can't wait to reveal Himself to you. He can't wait to bless you and to speak to you and to pour out to you. In fact, I would challenge that God has been doing that all of your life. You just may not have heard it yet. But you are loved. And His grace is upon your life. Listen, as soon as you call upon the name of the Lord and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His Spirit comes to minister to you. His grace comes to carry you, to empower you. All of heaven is available. Can you say amen? Can you receive that today? I'd like you to stand to your feet with me. Can I get the worship team to come?
Thanks for listening to this message from Fusion. You can find more messages at fusionbc.com.